is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. And we just got back from the farmer's market. We ate
the Oshawa farmer's market.
Flat of tasty butter tarts in tow.
And other delicious treats to tell you about. We decided we wanted to do an episode about the Oshawa farmer's market because there's a ton of places to eat there. It's not just fresh vegetables and fruits, which is awesome in and of its own right, but it was really cool to see all the different food vendors too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a little background on farmers markets, they've been around almost forever. You can trace it back to just farmers taking food to town to sell, selling their surplus, that sort of thing. The oldest continually operating farmers market, I want to say, is out in Lancaster, the one open market there.
Yeah.
In Penn Square. I might be wrong on the name of it. But it's been around since late 1800s. But there are some that have been operating off and on since the 1800s. They can kind of trace their roots back to their original market squares. There's
and
a lot.
A bunch that popped up during the 70s with the Back to the Land movement.
Yes.
And it's just wearing a sort of a similar...
Her mouth's full of butter tart right now.
But if I don't interject, I'll never get a word in. Since we're in a sort of a similar back-to-the-land kind of eco-friendly cycle, a lot more have been reinstated or popping up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, a word to the wise, be careful. If you see it looks like a farmer's market in front of a grocery store, and it looks like there's only one vendor there, there have been some reports lately of farmer's markets that aren't. The grocery stores are just sending their produce out in a nice outside display, which is cool, but they're kind of misrepresenting themselves. They don't actually have something that says farmer's market. But it'll be misleading.
Mm-hmm. So, or you'll see, and I think we heard about this on Good Eats, big produce importers will go to farmers markets and set up their little display thing, and they'll actually be a big company rather than a small independent farmer.
Mm-hmm.
So just be on the lookout for that.
Mm-hmm.
Word to the wise and whatnot.
Check online. If you're in the States, check your Chamber of Commerce. Usually they have information about the local farmers market as well.
Usually they proudly post where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one vendor there from Niagara Falls. It was Niagara-on-the-Lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or they'll have Omimi, Ontario, or whatever. Wherever they're from, they'll usually have it on the sign. And if they don't, and you're curious, ask. You know, and if their answers don't satisfy you, go to the next stall. Because I'm sure there's local places out there at your farmer's market.
Most farmer's people at farmer's markets are really friendly, and they're more than willing to discuss their product with you, where it came from, how they grew it, how they made it. Don't be afraid to ask. So, food at the Oshawa Farmers Market.
Mm.
Oh my god.
Now, there's a lot of different things to pick from.
I've never seen so many food vendors, like bakers and things. Mm-hmm. Usually there's one or two bakers and that's it.
Usually there's like candle makers lousing up the joint.
Yeah, well...
Which I'm like, you're not selling anything that you can eat, therefore you don't belong.
Well, and really, the only person I saw that was... They had a couple people selling sausages.
Mm.
And they had the guy from the one Indian restaurant that would come with some stuff, like samosas and things to sell. But it wasn't quite like this, I think. I think they have a better selection here with all the different stuff. First up...
Well, they have a bigger area.
They do have a bigger area here. The Oshawa's Farmer Market is right outside the Oshawa Center Mall, which is a huge mall anyway, with a huge parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even take up a tenth of the parking lot, I think.
Yeah, they kind of stick them over there in the corner behind the LCBO. In reality, that's probably like a couple acres of...
Yeah, it's a decent-sized farmer's market, and they have plenty of space to grow, too. And in the beginning of the season, there was maybe one or two rows of stalls and tents, and now there's four or five rows.
Yeah.
There's lots of different vendors.
As different things come up for harvest, there's more and more things to pick from.
And we've been going every week for a while now, and we've seen the different produce roll out as it becomes ripe, so it's kind of cool to see. But the first vendor I want to talk about, and the one I'm so excited about, was A Taste of Russia. And I believe these folks are from Peterborough. And they do catering, they do events, they do stuff like this. And they do Russian food. And oh my god, is it good.
Does it make your little Slavic heart sing?
Yes, we went a couple weeks ago and I had blinis from them. And blinis just by themselves are just like kind of a crepe. But their blinis, what they put in them is what makes them so incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
They do this filling. It's a mixture of cheesy potato, like in a pierogi, and fried onion and... Mushrooms, sautéed mushrooms, and they mix it all together. The onion's perfectly caramelized. The potatoes and the cheese are just the right texture. The mushrooms are just right. They all mix in together. And they put that inside the little blini and they roll it up. It ends up coming out looking like a little Russian taquito.
Yeah.
Almost, but it's not stiff. It's still floppy.
Right.
And you can get it with sour cream. And they have this crazy sour cream that's got some kind of seasoning in it.
I think it's got like paprika or
something
in it. I don't know.
Maybe some kind of salt too, or... I don't know, but it's
some sort of
good.
Seasoning salt, but it's really good.
We didn't ask. I don't want to, like, pry into their trade secrets or anything, but my god, is it good.
It's like zesty sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of spice in it that makes it really tasty and zippy.
And when we had the pierogies the last time, that was the same seasoning they had on the pierogies, too. And their pierogies were really good. They were very crispy, almost deep fried, but not quite. Really good filling to them. But the blinis were mind-blowingly good. They're not cheap, but they're not expensive. You can get 2 for $4.50 or 6 for $12. And I forget what the price was for a dozen, but it was right around $20, I think. So as you buy more, the prices drop. They give you the sour cream for it and everything. They pack them up into a nice little styrofoam container. They have forks and everything there. You can go ahead, grab them, and eat them if you want right then.
They give you instructions on how to reheat them if you're going to take it home and eat it later for dinner.
Exactly. They're very, super friendly. Very friendly, very knowledgeable. We also tried this time a plechenka, and it was this, looks like a giant pastry pierogi kind of deal. It's the half moon shape, and we got the one that was the dry cottage cheese and feta, and when we ripped it open, it also had dill and some other spices in it. It was really good. It was a little salty, but I think that had more to do with the type of cheese in it.
I think that was the cottage cheese.
Yeah, but it had a strong dill taste, but it was pleasant. It wasn't off-putting.
It wasn't over, it wasn't repugnant or overbearing.
Yeah.
It was just really intense.
Yes, it was there, but it was great. And the pastry was kind of flaky, but still kind of chewy. It was soft. Oh, it was
the
really
inside
good.
Was kind of crumbly because it was a dry. It wasn't like wet or squelchy or anything. It didn't make the pastry soggy or anything like that, which was good. It was a perfectly balanced meal.
As we're eating this plechenka, because we bought one to split, because those were, I think, three or $3.50 each, and then there were price drops if you got them in larger increments. Sheila's eating the rest of the crust, and she says, "You know what makes this taste great? This is full of lard or shortening, but it's full of fat, and it's great." But that's obviously what makes the crust taste so good, is the whatever shortening they've used within it.
I feel like I can go pick potatoes now all afternoon.
Yes, you're fortified. Delicious food. They have a whole bunch of other things. They have cabbage rolls there. They had these little feta and spinach pastry squares that we didn't want to stuff ourselves completely there because we wanted to try some other things at the market. So the next time we go back,
but
we're probably going to
get
those.
The same kind of pastry that's in baklava? Mm-hmm. Is that a... It's not like puff pastry. It's
like phyllo dough, almost. Phyllo dough, it looked almost like phyllo dough. And then they also had, if we should have taken a picture of this, the largest giant
like
dinner pastry I've ever seen before. No, that giant dinner pastry.
I thought you were going to talk about the pierogies.
Oh, the giant cauldron of pierogies. No, that's huge, but it's this huge pastry roll. It must have been, 8-9 inches long?
It was like as big as my arm.
Yeah, it was
like as big as my forearm.
It was just this big lump of food, and it's full of potatoes and the mushrooms and the onions and everything, and they called it a dinner pastry or a lunch pastry or something. The thing was huge. She was like, "I could take that for my lunch." I said, "Yeah, we'll take half, because, yeah, we're not going to finish it." I don't think I could finish it. That's definitely a meal for two. That was $8, but it looks like
totally
it was like
it.
A pound and a half of food. I guess the Russian version of a calzone or something.
Yeah.
I'm excited, can you
tell?
I'm
thinking the Russian version of a Cornish pasty.
Yeah, actually, that would be a very good description of it. I do want to get one of those sometime soon. But right now, my favorite place so far at the Oshawa Farmers Market is A Taste of Russia. We've been there twice to munch their stuff, and they've been very friendly both times. The food's been fantastic. I dream about the blinis the day after I have them because they're so good. Our friends Aubrey and Evan have a recipe for those from a book the Farmers Market put out last year for their anniversary, so I do want to get the recipe and try to recreate them because they're so good. But onward to other things at the Farmers Market.
There's, of course, honey cellars there.
Tons of honey cellars.
People that sell jam and preserves. Mm-hmm. And there's every different kind of produce you can imagine. I've heard that there is somebody selling edamame there because Aubrey bought it there last year, but she didn't realize that you were supposed to steam it and eat it as a snack, so she just tried to eat it raw.
No, I think they ate the whole pod, or they tried to. We haven't found the edamame people, but we don't know if it's in season yet. But one
it's probably not yet.
I've never seen at a farmer's market before is a coffee vendor, which is really strange, because you don't think of coffee as a local product. And coffee is something that's obviously going to be grown in the southern hemisphere, but you can roast it locally, and that's what this fellow does. It's called Kyoto Coffees. He has all organic fair trade coffees, and we decided to sample his coffee today. You got the bold. It was the... Do you remember the type?
Was it Sumatra?
I think yours was a Sumatra and mine was a Zimbabwe. I had the medium. Delicious coffee. You can tell it's good beans. It's not, you know, whatever the cheapest bean that the restaurant gave their hands on.
Folgers didn't take.
Exactly. Folgers rejects it. You know it must be bad. So we're going to sell it here. No. really good. His prices are competitive with Starbucks. $8 for half a pound, $16 for a pound. Starbucks is that or a little bit more. And I don't mean to say Starbucks is the benchmark. I know a lot of people have very negative opinions of Starbucks and their coffee. It is heavily roasted. My recommendation
is a good
still
indicator of
a market gauge.
The mark above diner coffee.
Yes. I still find that the darker roasts from Starbucks are too dark, too burnt for me. But the medium and the mild roasts are great.
It's fine if they're dark, but usually they burn them, which is what tastes horrible.
Yeah, it's whatever they say the actual roast is, it's really a notch darker. But if you get some of the milder roasts from Starbucks, they're very good, which is why I still have a pleasant opinion about them.
Well, that's where Starbucks fails as a chain, too, not to go into a tirade, but they're not consistent from store to store to store.
No.
There's some Starbucks that are really, really good,
and some are
and
horrible.
Some that are just serve you, like, water with coffee grounds floating in it.
Yes. It is very inconsistent from store to store, but that's besides the point. So anyway,
exactly.
Kyoto Coffee, we really liked what we had. He also had, I was impressed with the coffee concentrate and a little bottle for cooking. And it's made
the cold press coffee.
Which he admitted, he's like, my wife makes it. I'm not quite sure how she does it, but I think it involves a French press and it doesn't use any heat and there's something else involved. He's very, very honest. You can use it for baking, you can use it for flavoring things, you can use it for mixing drinks. It was very neat that he has that as well. And he also sells his wares at the that market.
Algoma.
Out on Thixon?
In Whitby? Yeah, up on Thixon.
It's up on Thixon. If you're in the local area and you've decided,
if you're on your
way to like
Revelia,
coffee,
go get some bacon.
Yes. I really like his coffee. I'd like to buy it someplace else, and I can't make it to the farmer's market on Friday. You can get it up there.
Yeah, you can buy the beans there, too, and he'll actually grind them for you if you want.
Though, as obviously coffee, it's always recommended. Grind it at home if you can. It will taste much better.
And grind only as much as you need to use.
Yes.
Don't just grind the whole thing. And then just let it sit there and get stale.
Yes, it doesn't taste nearly as good. You get it home and say, it doesn't taste at all like what he had at the booth. I think we're going to go to one, talk about one now that we didn't really talk about. We didn't go to today, but we've been to frequently. I think it's the one thing we bought consistently at the farmer's market is Dominic's Meats.
Oh, yes.
It's the meat trailer. They have a nice little trailer that they have, and they lift the side up, and they have it looks like almost like a little deli.
It's like Insta-deli.
It's Insta-deli, and it's full of dried and preserved meats and lunch meats, and they're delicious. We will always have a fond place in our heart for the Three Little Pigs at the
Curtis Flea Market,
but Dominic's is
very close,
very close,
very tasty.
It's across the street from us, pretty much, at the farmer's market, and their pepperettes are just as good. And Sheila had the land yoggers.
Oh, those are really good.
Give us the rundown.
So, basically, if you go there with $10, you can get 6 pepperettes of your choice, either hot or mild, and you can get 4 land yoggers. And the land yogger is a dried sausage, but it's a lot thicker than a pepperette. And if you're hearing something strange, it's the dog breathing into the recorder because he just can't help himself. He needs to be near us because we've been gone all afternoon.
This is why we tried to record out, but we just can't do it today, but we want to do this while it's still fresh in our minds.
Right. The land yogger is probably about as thick as 2 of your thumbs wide, and it's probably about...
It's a good 8 inches.
Inches long, and it's kind of flattened. It's almost like a box pressed cigar. And
box pressed sausage.
Yes. And it's spicy and really, really tasty.
Oh.
Very, very meaty. It's a good addition to any lunchbox, definitely. Or as a snack.
I'm not a huge pepperette fan. I'm very picky. I'm even pickier than Sheila when it comes to them. And the only ones I've really liked so far, besides the fellow that used to be at the mall in Aurelia, is Three Little Pigs. And I really like the ones at Dominic's. And the land yoggers, I was surprised I enjoyed them so much, because usually I don't like the thicker, meatier products. Like summer sausage, unless it's sliced paper thin, I'm not a big fan of it.
That was big props to Terry for pointing that out to us.
Oh, yeah. She
gets the summer sausage. She gets it taken to the deli and sliced
super thin.
Super thin, because it's a very, very powerful flavor. You don't need a big honking piece of it.
Yeah.
Just a dabble, do you?
Oh, that always makes me gag. Just people hack off this huge half-inch piece of summer sausage. Here, you want some? No, I don't. That's too much meat and stuff, and it's too strong of a flavor for me. But the paper-thin slices, I just went to town on
those.
Because
then you can just grab it and grab a little piece of cheese.
Oh, we rolled. Yeah,
time.
It was like a little meat taco. I took the piece of summer sausage, I threw some cheese in the middle and folded it up and ate it. It was so good.
Yeah.
We definitely recommend doing that if you can get your deli to cut it, or if you have your own deli slicer at home, which they've become very affordable now to get a home model. Obviously, it's not going to be the super-duper industrial-strength one, but
you're
get
not
a home
slicing
slicer.
Hundreds of pounds of meat every single day, so you don't really need an industrial slicer. I mean, if you can get one from a restaurant supply store, all the power to
or
you.
Or an auction for some place that's going out of business, grab it if you've got the space.
But a home slicer
it.
Will probably take care of your needs just fine.
Yes. I know I might have told this before, but I distinctly remember one summer when I was a child, my parents borrowed my grandparents' meat slicer. My grandmother had one. and they got a whole ham, like a boneless ham, and they sliced the whole thing down for lunch meat and then froze it into little, like, lunch meat packs. Mm. And I ate ham sandwiches all summer because it was great ham, because it was, they got a good ham. It wasn't a crappy ham.
Right. It was no particulate.
Yes. And it was just
horrible.
Just like getting, like, ham for dinner, but it was on my sandwich, like, every day that summer. It was so good.
You don't ever get tired of something that's that good a quality.
Exactly. So, back to Dominic's. Really good preserved meats. I had their jerky the first time we went there. The jerky was, it's a little bit pricey, but it's, I find jerky is getting more and more expensive every time I buy it anyway.
Which is why I offer pepperettes, because it's dried meat, and it gives you the same sort of salty, meaty satisfaction as jerky. It's just not as chewy.
Yeah, I like to chew it for 20 minutes, though. So I'll get my money's worth then, you know? It's like a hobby at that point. Really enjoyed it, though. Only two other places we wanted to give you a quick rundown on for our review of the Oshawa Farmers Market. And I don't mean to slight the farmers there, but we went for the prepared food. This is what kind of what we're looking at for this episode. All of the farmers there, the produce is very good. We know a number of people who've gotten it.
It all looks like it's in great shape. It's all really nice, really local stuff.
So we were talking, actually, we ran into Evan and Aubrey there, and we were chatting with them, and I looked over at one of the bakery stalls, and they had a stick, almost looks like a paper towel holder sticking up, with some pretzels on it. And I got all excited and ran over because I'm weird and I really like soft pretzels. And I also remembered from being in Germany as a kid that a lot of the bakeries there would just put the pretzels on a stick and display them. You just buy the stick. They'd walk around festivals and carry them like that too. And I thought, well, if they're displaying them like that, they must be good, because obviously I have no sense of logic where food is involved. So I run over.
If I can see it, it must be good.
I run over and I buy a pretzel and I take it off the stick, and I told the lady, don't think I'm weird, I just want to take a picture of him on the stick. And she laughed. She said, sure. And it was a really good pretzel. It tastes a lot like the ones I had in Germany. And it's from, let me get, we'll check the name of the bakery here. I want to say Stickler's Bakery. I did get a picture
of Peterborough?
That.
It seems like there's a lot of people from Peterborough that come down to Oshawa. But if a farmer's market and Peterborough is on a different day, why not?
Yeah.
You know, why not travel the 40 to 50 minutes and make some more money?
Yeah. Can't figure out how to change the pictures on here.
It was a really good pretzel, though. The inside was nice and fluffy. The outside was nice and chewy and brown. The salt was big and crunchy.
Stickling's Bakery. And I believe that was also the place that Evan and Aubrey said had really good multigrain breads.
Yeah.
So, delicious pretzel. It was another little bright spot in the day because it was so close to German pretzels I had in Germany. So, I definitely recommend walking by there, checking out some of their baked goods as well.
We should go up to Peterborough and check that out.
We really need to go to Peterborough.
Because there was a really good German deli that I wonder if is still there.
We are going to do a foodgasm for Peterborough someday. Yes. Someday soon, I think, maybe an overnight stay, and hit up some good spots. Because I keep getting recommendations from people, too, for Peterborough. Mm-hmm. Like, all year, people have said, hey, you should go there. You'd like it. There's lots of neat things to eat and do. Really? It seems like it's all
kind
of thing.
I like eating and doing things.
I do like eating and looking at cheesy little touristy things, so. The last one up is, I don't even know the name of the stall. I don't think it had a name, but all he had were butter tarts and pies.
It was Grandma Taylor's butter tarts.
These are Grandma Taylor's butter tarts. But what caught our eye was he had these little pies. They looked like giant butter tarts, but they were actually little pecan pies, and he had little blueberry pies. They were reasonably priced. They were 2 for $5, or $3 each, which would be perfect for two people to split, or for my mom, because she loves pecan pie, but nobody else really likes it, so she would get
the entire thing.
The entire thing. In fact, if she's ever up here when the farmer's market's around, we should get her a little pecan pie. I was compelled to buy, almost as if there was some kind of supernatural force making me buy them, because they're made with love.
It the
label
so
on the package actually says Grandma Taylor's recipe, baked with love. And they had plain butter tarts, which I do like them plain, because I'm boring like that.
She likes them better than the raisins. She likes them better than the walnuts.
I do. And Sheila's just happy to eat any of them.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not particular.
And I am making up for lost time because I didn't have butter tarts until a couple years ago, so I have almost 30 years to catch up on.
I will say, in your defense, the plain ones do offer more filling.
That's what I like, the gooey filling. And these ones are a nice halfway point between the ones that are kind of chewy and the ones that are oozing out.
Yeah.
They had a good form. They weren't too gelatinous. They still had a little ooze to them. They're a good size.
When you bite into it, you don't have to, like, immediately pull it over your head with your mouth open to catch all the filling pouring out.
It's not a flaky crust, but it's a little bit crumbly. Mm. It's a good halfway point. I've noticed the crusts are either more like shortening or more like a pie crust. Shortbread.
Yeah.
They're more like shortbread or more like a pie crust, and this one's kind of closer to almost a shortbread kind of crust.
Yeah.
But it's really good. I would recommend them. It was $4.75 for a pack of six, which is pretty much market price if you go to the grocery store.
Yeah. Get a gourmet set.
You can get the crappy ones for $2 or $3 for six, but you're not getting as good ones.
Low quality ingredients.
Yes, and he's got the ingredients all listed on here. There's nothing in here that would make you...
Nothing on there you can't pronounced.
In fact, the pastry is flour, lard, eggs, vinegar, and salt, made with lard and love. What's not to like? Thank you, Grandma Taylor. Thank you.
There probably is no Grandma Taylor.
Well, I'm sure
there's
the
probably
recipe
just that mustache guy standing behind a curtain.
In a dress. No.
Pay no attention. The man behind the curtain.
Anyway. Now, there were a bunch of other bakers there, too, that we didn't stop at simply because we have limited stomach capacity. It's not that they aren't good or they didn't look delicious. I could have bought something at every stall and crammed it in my face and then came home and passed out in a food coma, but that wouldn't have gotten the episode done either before and I had to go to work.
It wouldn't have gotten her to work.
No, it would not have gotten me to work. So we did limit it to what really caught our eye today. If anybody was at the farmer's market, a vendor, and they're upset we didn't review them, it's not that you weren't good. I'm sure your stuff is delicious, and I'm sure someday we're going to cram it in our faces and then gush
Tell
about
us who
it.
You are. We'll see you next
yes,
Friday.
Yes, definitely. Anything else you wanted to add about the farmer's markets?
I don't think so.
Go
there's
eat
still
local.
Lots of places to explore. This could be like one of a many part series, I'm sure, because we're going to find new places.
And farmer's markets, yes.
And new farmer's markets.
But go eat local. Go check out your local farmer's market. Almost every community has one within half an hour. Even Morgantown had one. Where I grew up, Ambridge had one. It was the weirdest time ever. Thursdays from 4 to 7 or something.
Yeah.
But go give it a shot. And if you're in the Lancaster area or you're passing through, go check out that one that's in Lancaster. Look it up online. We'll put a link to it off the page I found for it.
Speaking of eating local, you didn't even realize that we have peaches here in Ontario.
No, I didn't. And I'm ashamed that I didn't know that. You can grow peaches in Ontario, and I have to say, they are quite darn tasty.
They're from the Niagara region, and they're really good.
Yeah, we picked up a package of them because they're in season now from the store. And I'm not a big peach fan. I like the little donut peaches because of the flavor. But these ones were good as the donut peaches. They were just perfect texture, perfect taste. Super gushy and sweet. You have to eat it over a napkin, but
or
awesome.
Sink.
Or sink. Or the tub. Or just strip down and get in the tub and, sit
eat
down with
peaches.
A pint of peaches. I don't know.
And then the one last thing I wanted to add really quick that we saw in the grocery store was something I'd never seen before, and that was the yellow plums.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like...
Didn't you say you used to have to know somebody with a tree to get those?
They weren't really, commercially available. You had to kind of know somebody that had one of those plum trees in their backyard. And then they were like, please take them. They're rotting in the lawn and attracting bees.
And now you can get them. They look almost like oversized cherries, but they're actually plums. They're bright yellow. Really good taste, really good texture. I am a plum fan, so for me, it's kind of like sitting down with a bucket of popcorn. I just nom, nom, cram it in my maw.
Well, and they have a sweet flesh, but kind of a bitter skin.
The skin's very tart, yes.
So it's a nice complement in contrast to each other.
Put it this way, if you think a Pink Lady apple's kind of tart and you like it, you'll definitely like these. Because Pink Ladies, I saw a flavor wheel, I guess, of apples. And the only thing that's tarter than a Pink Lady is a...
Macintosh?
No, the green ones.
Oh, Granny Smith.
Granny Smith. The ones that I think taste like green peppers. Every one of those I've ever had has always tasted kind of like a green pepper, which is why I don't like them. But I like the Pink Ladies because it tastes like apple and it's tart. But that's besides the point. This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Spy Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening. And eat local.
Yes, eat local.
We hope you enjoyed the Spy Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.